City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
City Queer Cast. It's show 400. That's right. Can you believe 400 of these puppies have gone out into the interwebs and you have downloaded them and we appreciate it or listened online. I'm Amy Matheny and I am thrilled today to have the original movie queen, our own film critic. He is such a connoisseur and witty and sharp and I listen to him for all of my recommendations because he's gay like me and I'm probably going to like most of what he likes. So we're usually in sync. Richard Knight Jr. on the show with me. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm happy. I just watched the Golden Globes, and we have lots to dish about that.
We have so much Golden Globes dish, and I, you know, look, it becomes the high holidays, you know, for us gays. For me, the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, the Oscars, the Tony
National
Awards.
National holiday for the gay men, yeah, absolutely.
Right. And I'm a gay man. This is the and my inner gay man.
The gay women, of course.
It's exactly right. And so we've both just watched the Golden Globes and we're pushing out this show immediately after so you all can, you know, so we can be current. But it is the big kickoff and normally it's the night where all the stars get all dressed up and look gorgeous. And they did. We can talk about that. I thought it was a very attractive looking award ceremony, and they drink and eat, which they did. We heard about Godiva chocolates, and we saw the smart water plus the red wine and the champagne flowing. And I could say they are merry and gay, there was a lot of gay tonight, but merry, Ricky Gervais started off with such an awful tone, my opinion.
And like, just the bar was lowered immediately. I mean, he was so off his game.
Lead weight. I mean, like a lead weight. You could just tell that this was not what that audience wanted. I can guarantee you he was not in sync with what America wanted. And I don't know if foreign people thought it was funny and that's who he was speaking to because it's the Hollywood foreign press. And I don't know if they just like to beat up the stars they're inviting to their party.
No, it was like this is exactly what he did last year when he hosted. It's like, you know, okay, you did this last year and it worked last year, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, we can cite that Tom Hanks started on Bosom Buddies or whatever, you know. I mean, he was coming up with the worst film credits from some of these actors.
Right.
Very funny, but everybody was on to this. You noticed about halfway through the show, my husband was like, I bet they reined him in because he stopped it. Did you notice?
Well, I was just so damn excited when he didn't come on and the announcer just told us what stars were coming out. And then we could really make our own opinions about these stars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I certainly don't mind the evisceration, absolutely. But, you know, funny. Come on, let's get back to the funny.
Well, and I think Robert Downey Jr. said it best that in spite of the mildly mean-spirited with hugely sinister undertones of the evening, meaning from the host. The vibe of the show was pretty good, and there's much to celebrate. Some potential surprises, and maybe, you know, pretty status quo. And I know one thing that I want to know is later on in the show is, you know, how much does this tip off where the Oscar race will go? And all of that. But has this been a good year, a good season for filmmaking, do you think, Richard?
Absolutely. You know, I really think that 2010 was the year of the lesbian movie.
And
I'm serious. I'm so thrilled. If 2005 was the year of the gay movie, which it was, with Brokeback and Capote and Breakfast for Pluto and a lot of other movies, this year, totally, look at the movies that were celebrated, and it's so exciting to see The Kids Are All Right, I Am Love, of course, immediately blank out.
Black Swan. I mean, Black it's not Swan. Lesbian, but it includes it includes female sexuality.
Absolutely. Chloe was another film that had a lot of interesting lesbian subtext. So, yeah, first of all, I just love
and burlesque.
That.
Come on. It's just a lot of hot women that lesbians will like as much as gay men. Dancing around in their skivvies with
the
Cher.
The guilty pleasure of the year. Oh, my God. Yep. That's what I think about the Golden Globes. You know, I miss when they were really, you know, kind of second rate and people would get up drunk. Jack Nicholson would ramble on for 20 minutes.
Yes,
Suzanne
yes.
Summers would be doing a medley of songs from her
yes.
Vegas ass. You know? I love that they, you know, they'd be like on TBS at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Now it's gotten respectable and people, mm-hmm. you know, which may be what Ricky Gervais was trying to get to. Come on, you're looking at, they nominated The Tourist?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt just get to like kind of lean back against one another, kind of like they're sitting, I don't know, in a French cafe. With never a care, and you know they're probably just there to continue their it factor, so that they can, you know, show up for causes I think they really do believe in. And
but she quickly whipped out. Did you see the cameras caught her whip on her lipstick?
I liked that, her little gloss. That's how she keeps.
Well, it was humanized her. Humanized her for a second.
Well,
there.
And here's what I think that also made it very lesbian, because those lips, many a lesbian and straight woman who would like to be a lesbian have thought about those lips. So it was a nice moment. I have to say, you know, and I can speak for myself. Maybe you have some thoughts as well from the guy's perspective. But it was a hot night for women. Hot women. And right now we're not even talking about, I don't want to talk about the awards yet. We're just going to talk about the superficial shit, which is just who looked hot. And I have to say, Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, where they put her,
right?
She goes away. She comes back the most gorgeous of the night. I mean, just she looks really good for her age, but she looks like she hasn't had done crap to her face. She looked stunning and simple and elegant in that blue, and it's just refreshing to see her because she hasn't, you know, she hasn't been out in front of the cameras a lot.
And tomorrow morning she's going to work on a movie and playing Chris Pine's mother.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. See, you know that kind of stuff.
Wrong.
I love that,
that
you
is
know
so
that.
Wrong.
You know, I mean, who made my jaw drop? Lesbians, you listening, you'll know. Olivia Wilde looked gorgeous, who plays the bisexual on House. And Sofia Vergara, who I have to pause my TiVo and replay it for Modern Family as she walks across the room. And any tighter skirts or any better cleavage they give her week to week, she looked gorgeous. I mean, she takes my breath away. And Halle Berry, all I have to say is, damn, girl.
Halle Berry. Oh, my God. You just stop and
just
go, Halle, period, Berry, period. I mean,
Halle Baron. Mm-hmm. Natalie Portman, pregnant and looked lovely and womanly and gorgeous.
But that dress. That
I didn't love the dress.
Big flower thing. I mean, now my gay man is coming out.
Yes. Okay.
You know, the lovely pink color of the dress, and then that red
sequin rose.
Sequin embellished dress.
Yeah. If they had taken the rose away.
Designer gown. My God. I'm sorry.
They could have taken the red rose away, because I just thought her face, I thought, you know, you can tell she's pregnant physically and her body just looked fuller. And I have to say that Claire Danes is too skinny. And so, I mean, I was happy she won, but, and I just guess I tipped off something, but she was so skinny. And I just think, once again, I love seeing, I hate the representation that that young girls have to be so absolutely anorexic, just is terrifying.
Well, but then you caught little glimpses of the large and lovely gal from Glee, the teenage girl. And, you know, Lea Michele is, you know, she's...
Yeah, she looks real sized, you know.
She looks like a real person.
Yeah, she looks like a real person.
Like a real young lady. And,
speaking of real, you know, being a real person and showing up, and I think having a moment that is a very subtle moment, but Scarlett Johansson opening the show just after her divorce from Ryan Reynolds, and
she
looked elegant, and well, I think many a gay man are very happy, but they would understand her. They would have some sympathy if they were her. They would, I mean, who wants to lose him? He's a hunk of a man. I know most of my gay male friends love him. And there's all this gossip, right, that he's with Sandra Bullock. And if that's true and she's worried about that 13-year age difference or whatever they have, girl has done something to her face, and I'm none too happy about it. And I think she tried to have the heavy bang.
What was with the kabuki look? She did this kind of with the bangs and the dark makeup.
I think she was covering up as much of the bad either surgery or collagen injections that she had. It was a problem. Sandra, you do not need to do that. Grow into your age gracefully. You can do it.
No, totally. She's our girl next door. I did not love her dress either. We liked wacky Helena Bonham Carter with anybody in Vivian Westwood with the curse. Yeah. She looked like a bird.
Bravo, Helena. You're her inner freak. I love when she lets her inner freak fly, because she gives such a subtle, beautiful performance in The King's Speech, which I just saw last week. And but I love that you can tell that she's married to Tim Burton and she's got that inner freak. And it's just was fun tonight. I mean, she gives us a little bit of the Cher, right, that we used to remember, or the Barbara Streisand. And
hey, you can answer a question, maybe. Mm-hmm. Diane Warren, the songwriter, you know, mega songwriter who wrote all those Cher hits, who won, well, we're not supposed to tell what later
but
on.
We'll
but anyway.
Tell. You can say that. That's okay. That's not one of the heavies.
Okay. She won a song for, one for writing the song for Burlesque.
Yeah.
My husband is like, is she one of us? Is she one of us?
Well, you know what's interesting? I actually don't know. But the funny thing, you know, obviously she wore more of like kind of a tux look, a vintage tux look. And, you know, she's always kind of looked like a mom when she goes to these award ceremonies. And I don't know if she's just kind of a hipster and doesn't feel comfortable continuing to put on the ball gown and wear the charade or something. But I don't know. I've never heard that she is, but doesn't mean that she isn't. Who knows? You know,
okay.
I really...
It had less to do with the kind of the, you know, the pantsuit thingy. She seemed very kind of butch, but that's just...
Yeah.
You're like, wow, she outmanned me, baby.
And then we've got the entirely androgynous, and I wish she had worn a suit. She should have sported the tux tonight, and that's Tilda Swinton. I did not like her outfit, but I'm so glad she's there, and she's just so alien. I love looking at her, you know.
Oh, you know how much I love I Am Love.
Well, I haven't watched it yet, so that is one of my DVDs to watch. So
should have won every award.
Yeah, well, I cannot wait to see it. But I was glad she was there, and I think, you know, obviously the film was nominated, and the Hollywood Foreign Press inviting her to be a presenter, I think, was a bit of a tip of a hat just to who she's been for the U.S. and as a, you know, an artist outside of a non-American artist.
And that's another film with a great lesbian character and a lesbian subplot, I Am Love. So
yeah, I haven't seen it, so I'm intrigued. You've talked about it so much.
Yeah.
I also thought that January Jones looked beautiful. I thought their little bit was very, very funny. There was not much of interest with any of the hosts, I thought, but she was very funny. And, you know, I have to say, Julianne Moore, bad dress, and it pains me because you're so gorgeous, and I want to dress her more.
Have the same reaction. Like, she's so stunningly beautiful, and you know, you go back and forth, and you'll see her, and she's dazzling. And then you see her tonight, like,
She's hit or miss, and that was a big miss. And also,
big miss.
Helen Mirren, I did not love the hair, and I did not love the necklace, but I kind of love the dress. It was a little more matronly than what she goes for. It was a little...
She did go a little bit more, but there was still a little of the Marin cleavage, absolutely.
But the Marin came out and stole my line. I was watching the show. I wrote down, okay, got to talk on the show about all the hot women. And, of course, Helen Mirren walks out on stage, and because she is an honorary lesbian, walks out and says, look at all the gorgeous women in the audience. And I thought... Helen, this is why we're in sync. You know, this is why we are ships adrift.
It was as if she was reading your thoughts, Amy.
She
right
is.
Through the air.
She loves me. She loves me. Now, for the men, did you find any men particularly handsome, or was it really more a ladies' night? It felt like a ladies' night to me.
I loved the tuxedo that Chris Colfer had on.
Yep.
I love his deportment, how he presents himself.
Yep.
He is like an exquisite role model for gay men.
Yep.
And just for young people, if I can say the young people. Let me take my teeth out as I say that.
The youths. The
anybody.
Youths. Yeah. Colin Firth is always a class act. He looks
absolutely
handsome and charming.
He's the older version
and gorgeous.
Of that, which is also wonderful. I'm so sick of the gum, though, and Johnny Depp with the gum, and the women with the gum.
He gotta smoke. Let me tell you, he's just doing the best. Probably, you know, Nicorette. He's like a, you know, crazy smoker.
Stick a patch on before you go in.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. At least we didn't see anybody texting.
Yeah. No, I did, but not famous people. People in the background. You know, there was a lot of facial hair, a lot of long hair. So people probably have projects going on, you know, Brad Pitt sporting, you know, longer hair and the beard and Christian Bale looks like Jesus. And
Christian had a beard. Jake had a beard. Michael C. Hall, Dexter guy had a beard.
Matt Damon kind of looked like I've kind of got long hair and a bit scruffy. I mean, I think they're all probably in some film, you know, that. Denotes how they look, but John Hamm still gorgeous and
always
so dapper, isn't he?
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's like a modern day Clark Gable, you know. Kind of has that.
Isn't he? That's so funny. And I mean, I guess we should say looking far more healthy. And I think the sweetest moment of the night was seeing Michael Douglas there. And humbled
with
by
the ice
just
queen,
being there.
With the real life ice queen.
You know, she's so pretty. She just need not speak, but she's so pretty.
Oh, man, that dress was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. She's
glacial Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She's just visually stunning. But he looked in better health, and I guess the reports are, you know, that he is cancer free. And so, I mean, that was a really lovely moment and very funny for him to say, wow, you know, there's got to be an easier way to get a standing ovation. But I felt like it was a sweet moment of the night. And in spite of Ricky Gervais, there were many a sweet moment. And we'll talk about
De Niro.
All of those.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Sorry.
We'll talk about all of those.
Yeah.
But we've got some amazing news going on this week. Also, what's going on in the theater scene. And Richard Knight Jr. is giving us a review this week of one of the movies that was mentioned and nominated tonight, also in our show. So we're going to be back. Richard Knight Jr. and I. It's all about the Golden Globes. The awards season has begun, and we're kicking it off tonight.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Texas, an appeals court ruled that State Attorney General Greg Abbott cannot stop the divorce of Sabina Daly and Angelique Naylor, two women who married outside the state. The couple married in Massachusetts in 2004 and returned to Texas, which bans same-sex marriage. A district judge allowed the couple to divorce in 2009.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates has called the military to accelerate the pace of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Gates outlined a multi-step plan that includes regulatory and benefits reform, preparation of training materials, and then the training itself.
In Virginia, Washington County Circuit Court Judge C. Randall Lowe has reversed his previous ruling and is now allowing a woman to adopt the last name of her same-sex partner. Leanne Ruth Hunter and partner Jennifer Beth Serber petitioned Lowe for a name change. Judge Lowe said the couple wanted to represent themselves as a married couple, even though same-sex marriage is not permitted in Virginia.
The Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, GLSEN, has announced that Barnes & Noble, the world's largest bookseller, has become an official partner of No Name Calling Week, presented by Cisco. The 8th annual No Name Calling Week will take place in schools across the country January 24th through 28th.
Male model Renato Seabra has been arrested after his companion, 65-year-old Portuguese TV journalist Carlos Castro, was found castrated and beaten to death in a New York City hotel. Seabra, a contestant on a Portuguese reality TV show, and Castro were spending New Year's Eve in New York. There had reportedly been some friction between the two, and at least one guest at the Intercontinental New York Times Square Hotel heard arguing.
To recognize the growing diversity of families, the U.S. Department of State has announced new gender-neutral passport and consular report of birth abroad forms. The new forms will use the title of parent as opposed to mother and father to better reflect same-sex and single parents.
In Minnesota, transgender woman Chrissy Bates has become Minneapolis's first homicide victim of 2011. Bates, formerly known as Christopher Bates, was found dead on January 10th in an apartment. Previously, Chrissy had claimed that she had been recently sexually assaulted and that her window was broken.
The GLBT Historical Society is a new museum that celebrates San Francisco's LGBT community. The 1,600-square-foot museum is only the second of its kind in the world. The other is in Germany.
In Pennsylvania, Haverford may become the 19th jurisdiction in the state to pass an LGBT-inclusive non-discrimination ordinance. The ordinance, which bans sexual orientation and gender identity-based discrimination in the areas of public accommodations, housing, and employment, passed January 10th by a vote of 5-3.
In Minnesota, the Minneapolis School Board unanimously passed a resolution that adds an LGBT curriculum and anti-bullying initiatives, plus educational materials about the safety of LGBT students and annual training for all district staff members. Sexual health curriculum will include LGBT issues, and there will be an elective course on LGBT history.
In world news, Ireland has started recognizing same-sex couples who have married or had a civil partnership abroad as civil partners. However, couples who wed in other countries where same-sex marriage is legal will have their status changed to civil partnerships. Unions from 27 countries or states will now be recognized.
In England, transgender drug dealer Jean Morris was spared a prison sentence after Judge Mark Horton felt that putting Morris in a men's facility would continue her sexual nightmare. Morris, 41, was convicted of drug possession with intention to distribute and ended up receiving an 11-month jail term.
In entertainment news, actor Garrett Hedlund, currently in Tron, Legacy, and Country Strong, will be in the upcoming movie On the Road and will portray Dean Moriarty, the character in Jack Kerouac's On the Road, based on bisexual beat poet Neil Cassidy. Cassidy died at age 41 in Mexico in 1968.
All of the major U.S. broadcasters have declined to pick up the new Wonder Woman TV series. David E. Kelley, the mastermind behind Ally McBeal, was trying to bring the comic book character back. Linda Carter played Wonder Woman on TV from 1975 to 79. Mad Men actress Christina Hendricks had expressed interest in playing the role.
I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Brandt II, the 18-year-old openly gay son of supermodel Stephanie Seymour and billionaire Peter Brandt, is responding to photos that have been posted showing him and his mother frolicking, kissing, and hugging. On Facebook, Brandt posted, "I would just like to say that these pictures have been taken completely out of context. At my age, my mother and I are almost like friends, and I feel open to talk to her about anything. And yes, our relationship may be different because of my sexuality."
Ryan Murphy, Glee's openly gay creator, has signed on as co-executive producer of Oxygen's Glee Project, a reality spinoff. The winner of the show, which starts in June, will get a 7-episode arc on Glee. Also, Oxygen has bought the right to run off-night rerun nights of Glee starting February 5th.
And the opening of troubled Broadway musical Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, has been pushed back to March 15th. This is the second delay for the production, which had originally been scheduled to start January 7th.
And the Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association has announced nominations for its second annual Dorian Awards. The Kids Are All Right, Black Swan, I Am Love, Toy Story 3, and The Social Network received nods for Movie of the Year. Performances of the Year nods went to Natalie Portman, Annette Bening, James Franco, Christian Bale, Colin Firth, and Leslie Manville. Winners will be announced January 18th.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movie Minute. Rabbit Hole is the first movie from gay writer, director, performer John Cameron Mitchell since his deliriously wonderful film experiment, The Sexually Adventurous Short Bus, 4 years ago. His return is overdue, and though the material doesn't have a whiff of queer content, the film is beautifully written, adapted for the screen by the playwright David Lindsay Abair, and performed by its expert cast, Nicole Kidman, Aaron Eckhart, Diane Wiest, Tammy Blanchard, Sandra Oh, and Miles Teller, a marvelous newcomer. The story focuses on Kidman and Eckhart as a married couple in the midst of emotional freefall 8 months after the accidental death of their young 4-year-old son. Kidman is frozen in anger, wound so tight she seems about to snap, and ironically, when she inevitably does, her mask of a face actually shows some emotion for once. Eckhart desperately wants to put their lives back together, but nothing is working. And Kidman ignores any attempt at conciliation from him, her mother, sister, or intrusive neighbors. Instead, she's drawn to a sober-faced teenage boy for reasons that slowly become clear. Mitchell refuses to push the envelope in the inherently grief-stricken material, and when tears finally come, they are honestly earned. But his cautious approach to the heartbreak has the unfortunate side effect of distancing the audience from Kidman, the central character, until very nearly the end. You just have to hang in there, like Eckhart, who is remarkable in a tricky role, and wait for the clouds to part. I'm glad that Mitchell made Rabbit Hole, but selfishly, I want another queer-themed movie from him next. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 17th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. In Brett Nouveau's Do the Hustle, Sam and Eddie are more than just father and son. They are a crack team of hustlers always looking for the next mark. Sam, a teenager who practically raised himself, now wants to strike out on his own. Eddie doesn't want to let his son go without one final hustle. Do the Hustle starts January 25th. Buy tickets today at writerstheater.org.
Tickets are selling quickly to Travels with My Aunt. Don't miss what the Chicago Tribune is calling sophisticated and wry, light and fanciful. And the Chicago Sun-Times proclaims is vivid, supremely well-acted, delightful, highly recommended. Many performances are already sold out. Order your tickets today at writerstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
All those days watching from the windows, all those years outside looking in, all that time never even knowing just how blind I've been. Now I'm here blinking in the starlight. Now I'm here suddenly. So clear, I'm where
So, Richard, let's talk awards. Let's start with some film, because you're going to talk mostly about film. I'll talk about television.
I'll throw my opinion in about everything.
Great. Excellent. Well, I love it. All right. Cool. So let's start with the supporting categories in film and your thoughts on, tell us who the winners were and your thoughts on that.
Melissa Leo.
Yeah.
For The Fighter, which yep. was a very, very good choice. You know, she just broke through with Frozen River and mm-hmm. is just giving one great little performance after another. You know, these tough, tough kind of either, I think of Frozen River, she was kind of like a white trash type. And in The Fighter,
she was in 21 Grams, too, playing kind of a similar, she played Benicio del Toro's wife in 21 Grams.
Kinda,
she's always played these, you know, fringe characters. And it's like now here she is at this point in her career and really getting the leading roles, right? It's so amazing to see for an actor's career.
Well, she's kind of, you know, yes. And I love that she is a middle-aged actor who is coming into their own. I mm-hmm. love to see that kind of thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll see a lot of great things from her as she goes along. So, yeah, I thought that, and her speech was lovely, mm-hmm. you know.
Were you expecting her to win? Because obviously probably a strong contender was her co-star, Amy Adams. One might say her nemesis in the film. I'm a really, really big fan of The Fighter. I've been trying to see films kind of ferociously the past few weeks, and I loved this movie. I really thought the four performances in this movie were all four so stellar that I was blown away.
I would have been happy with Amy Adams because it's a real career changer for her.
Yes.
It's sort of typical, as I just said, for Miss Melissa Leo to do this kind of part.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been happy for either one of the ladies to win. I'm glad she won.
Yeah. And then supporting actor, I thought this was a absolute no-brainer. I actually, if you all follow me on Facebook, you know that I Facebooked this a week ago, the hour after I walked out of the film, Christian Bale. Is he really just the slam dunk that I see him as?
Awards shows love to give this kind of performance an award. You know, mm-hmm. He plays, a crack addict with a Boston accent. He's got all these wonderful things as an actor.
Right.
You know, it's very showy.
Yep.
Lots of big high drama stuff. It's a real career change kind of role for him because he's done all these sort of superhero things, which, you know, this showed a little bit more variety and subtlety in certain moments. The relationship with Mark Wahlberg in the film was really good. So, yeah, he absolutely deserved the award. I was very happy for him. I would also love to see somebody like Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech, who has given, you know, one performance after another like this, where he supports a main actor so beautifully and so subtly that his work is so seamless that you kind of bypass it. You sort of don't really realize. And then you look at it and you're like, my God, this guy is so good.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a kind of a wince about that. Like, I'm happy to see this actor change,
mm-hmm.
his perspective. Because really, when you look back at some of these big blockbusters, the Terminator film, I mean, he just seems to, you know, clench his teeth and that's his acting. So it was nice to see the variety there.
Do you think that there are nominees who are not in those two categories of supporting actor, supporting actress who are missing? Are there any people that you thought would be there? Or do you think this is pretty representative of where it will be here in a couple of months?
I think actually because they give more, they have double nominations because they mm-hmm. have the drama mm-hmm. and then they have the comedy musical category. You're able to get more people recognized with at least nominations.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, something like The Kids Are All Right is going to be able to, you know, at least for the Globes, is able to be nominated and win.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see the same thing at the Oscars.
Exactly.
But yeah, they pretty much match up. I always have my own little, you know, personal things that I love this performance or this score or that movie or whatever, and it doesn't get the recognition that I like. But it seems like once these awards things start to go down, you know, it's like dominoes. The little critics associations, we start to, you know, they start to all sort of go for the same people.
Well, but that may be surprising. Paul Giamatti winning for actor in a comedy or musical for Barney's Version. I mean, a film that I'm just starting to see the trailers on, and I'm sure most people haven't even really heard of. Was there really just not that many comedy or musical performances that Johnny Depp is nominated twice and Jake Gyllenhaal and Kevin Spacey?
Well, that speaks to the Golden Globes.
Okay.
There's no reason, I'm sorry, for, you know, some of those people that were, you know, again, Johnny Depp nominated for The Tourist, Angela Dunn, no. They, you know, for him to be nominated for Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
For acting? What?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a skit in your backyard. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the craziness of the Golden Globes, which gave the Golden Globe to Pia Zadora. So,
yeah. Right.
You know, you can't nominate Burlesque for Best Picture of the Year with a straight face. What?
Yeah.
When there are so many amazing performances that are out there. So, no, it has to do with slots. There's only 5 slots when you get to those Oscars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, definitely, you know, we should just say in many of the categories, The Social Network seems to be a real front runner with director, with original screenplay, and winning best film tonight at the Golden Globes.
I was very sad. I mean, it's a very smart script that Aaron Sorkin won, but I'm very sad that it won over Lisa Cholodenko and Stuart Blumberg for The Kids Are Alright.
Yeah.
Because that is a script that you see filmed so rarely where, I don't know if you've seen the film, but literally every single character in the film is given a moment to shine. The people you don't like, the people you like, everybody has a moment. They're all made memorable. It's so beautifully thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an everyday situation, you know, that she sets this premise, and then I just can't even say enough about how beautifully thought out and written and played that script was. And I know I thought The Social Network was a very good film, but all I kept saying to myself was, this is a black comedy with those Winklevoss twins.
Yep.
And I want to say that the Andrew Garfield character is actually the one who co-created it.
Yep.
Is a gay man in real life. They didn't get into any of that. It just kept saying Coen Brothers to me. I wish the Coen Brothers had taken this story, because the movie felt very creepy and weird, and like there's this thriller aspect to it. And I don't know how Trent Reznor won the best musical score. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The whole setup of the movie, you're on edge and you're kind of nervous, and it just felt creepy and weird. And, I certainly appreciate it. It was very good, but I don't
haven't
know.
Seen it, so I can't speak to it. But I have to say, I really feel, I felt like The King's Speech and The Fighter were such strong movies. Now, I love Black Swan, so I am a devotee of Black Swan. I love it.
I think
it's going to win Best Picture. No.
Could
he, as director, he could, because I think it's fascinating. But I really feel like, you know, The Fighter is such an Oscar-winning movie to me. You know, I feel like The Social Network may be a commentary of our time. I haven't seen it, so I can't speak of it. But The Fighter seems like such an Oscar movie to me. And as much as I love The King's Speech, I really, really, really did. I don't know. There's something about The Fighter having that story get told, just the process by which it was taken to get the movie made. And I don't know. I just love a lot about that movie. The King's Speech will be considered an adaptation in the Oscars, though, but won't it? Because it was an off West End play. I heard on Charlie Rose when the director and
you mean the writing, of course.
Yes, for the writing, it would be an original. It's an adapted screenplay. I would think it would have to be. So they have different categories of the Oscars. They'll have original screenplay and adapted. So like Kids Are All Right will be in one category. No, King's Speech perchance will be in another another category.
I think Social Network will be up against Kids Are Right. You know, also these things that, you know, there's a point where people just get on the bandwagon. You know, it's like you can't stop this thing once it gets going. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of what happened, I want to say, 4 years ago with The Departed, the Scorsese picture.
Right.
You look back and you say, okay, really? Or like Crash, winning Best Picture over Brokeback Mountain 5 years ago?
Yeah.
No, that's unbelievable. Or the swell of support for Forrest Gump. Have you ever tried to watch it again?
Yeah.
You can't,
yeah, it doesn't stand the test of time.
It does not stand the test of time.
It's a guilty pleasure that people were wanting
to dive into at the time. And also you're looking at this, you know, from a career, you know, David Fincher has made a lot of interesting critically acclaimed movies, made money. David O. Russell is a very controversial figure, the writer-director from The Fighter in Hollywood. His process has not been, mm-hmm. you know, the whole I Heart Huckabees thing. And so that gets into it. You know, this is why Barbara Streisand supposedly did not win the Oscar for The Way We Were, because she was very unpopular.
Yeah.
Why Bette Midler didn't win for The Rose. Nobody in town. Judy Garland lost for a star. You know, this is the gay man coming out.
Yeah.
Judy Garland, the greatest Robert.
I was going to say, in a breath, you have mentioned Judy Bette
by
and
Barbara. You know,
Barbara.
She didn't win for A Star Is Born. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, so that really now enters into, there's also the component of, what can we make money with? If we push this movie, you know, where of all the movies we have to push, the little studios decide, where are we most likely to, you know, earn back and, you know, that kind of thing, too.
Well, interesting, too, will The Social Network be seen? It's based on somebody's life. It's based on an actual story. Will it be seen as an adaptation? It's not an original story. It is not an original screenplay. I'm curious. I'll be curious when we talk about the Oscars to see which category it will fall into, you know. I don't know how that goes. I know if they adapt it from a book, then it's an adapted screenplay, or a play like Rabbit Hole, which you reviewed this week. You know, it'll be, you know, an adaptation. But that's interesting because, I mean, Facebook is a story that is chronicled and written about. And it's not an original story like The Kids Are All Right.
Right.
So,
which, you know, is based on elements from her life. And she worked on that script off and on with her, you know, writing partner for a long time. And and you see that, and weren't you just so, I personally was so delighted to see Annette Bening,
win.
You know, win for The Kids Are Right, because, you know, she's going to go up against Natalie Portman for Black Swan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be Natalie's year, I think.
Well, you know. I don't know. You know, Annette Bening, has she ever won the Oscar? I know she did not win for Being Julia, and she deserved to win for Being Julia that year. I can't remember who beat her, but
Hilary Swank. Both times she's been nominated, she's lost to Hilary Swank. Now, how about that?
I don't know. She's the biggest. I don't understand the Hilary Swank thing. Boys Don't Cry, amazing film, but everything after that. So Annette Bening did win for The Kids Are All Right, and I love that she talked about how proud she was of this very special film. She said, "I'm so proud of this very special film about two women deeply in love who are trying to keep their family together." And I love that she thanked her partner, Julianne Moore, first. And, you know, she's just such a class act, that Annette Bening. And you truly feel that this was a film of such the heart. You know, there was such language of the heart with every performance in this film, I felt like. And I think at the SAG Awards, they're all nominated as an ensemble, as a cast. But
did this read true to you? Because now, you know, now that the film has gone a little bit more mainstream, you know, like my sisters were asking me over the holidays, we were talking about the film. The fact that Julianne has an affair with a man as opposed to a woman.
Yep.
Is this, because I know that there's been some, you know, flack about this in the lesbian community.
Yep.
Does that read true to you?
Well, what rings true to me that she would sleep
that
with
that she would
Ruffalo?
Sleep with the man. That
absolutely.
She would be.
I mean, okay. What I think it's two things. I think, you know, lesbians are divided about this, maybe because A, it's a dirty little secret, and B, that, you know, lesbians can be lesbian and sleep with men. And I also think that, you know, and that may be offensive to some. I think that also, I think it's not relevant, his gender in this film. I think what is really relevant in this film and in the storytelling that Stuart and Lisa created was that it was really about a shared intimacy and somebody actually, you know, I mean, you know, I've heard that word intimacy saying into me see. And I think that it is truly like, you know, when the character, Mark Ruffalo's character, can, you know, really stops and sees her at a place in her life where I think both of these women, and I'm not, you know, I don't have an adult child going off to college, but when you start to redefine who am I now that my kids are starting to leave, you know, who am I? What do I want to do with this next part of my life when it's not about entirely being a mom? And I think that that's also a theme in this film that's not, you know, that's not talked about enough when maybe the gay community discusses it, because it's not, it's a new phenomenon, a more new phenomenon for our community. You know, and I think that straight heterosexual people are relating to this movie so much, and they don't think about that part because they understand what's actually happening to the nucleus of a family that's like 2 years away from being just two people in the home.
Right.
And
which
I
is
think,
why it resonated with my sister, who's just gone through this with her kids going off to college.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lesbian movie. It's a family movie that happens to have two lesbians. And what it does really well is shows some specificities about being a lesbian couple. But it does really show the universality of raising children, making choices. Who are we after? You know, we have to leave our moms or our, you know, our mom and dad, you know, or our moms in this case, you know, because that's the kid's story. You know,
right.
I need to know enough about myself to know who I am outside of this family when I go on to venture my own path. And then I think for these moms, it is who am I when these kids that have defined me within this house, these four walls go off and it's just us. And so I think it's more about this Ruffalo character really seeing her at that critical moment in her life. And that's why she has sex with him. Because I think it's so clear in the latter half of the movie, which, sorry, spoiler, you know, fast forward a little bit, folks. But when she sleeps with Mark Ruffalo and at the end when he is espousing his love, you know, he has his own confusion going on about where he is in his life.
Oh, totally.
But she's absolutely very clear of like, I'm gay. You know, I'm gay. Like, you know, stop talking. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And I thought that was so well written. Now, you know, my partner, Kelly, had the initial reaction that you're talking about. And then when we talked about it, and I think she saw the film again when we got it on DVD. And I think, you know, upon more showings, you actually see more layers of universality of this film, I think.
And I think also that's written into Julianne's character, that her character would be open. Absolutely. Let's go try this. I'll go, you know, for the intimacy with the male.
She's just open. She is hungry. She is starving to fill, you know, some sense of self, you know. And and Annette Bening's performance is just, I mean, both of them, if you could just give it to them as a pair, what they do together. And in some ways, it's what I wish for Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale, because they kind of can't do it without each other, what they each need to do, you know? And you see it so eloquently in both those partnerships, one being sibling and one being, you know, romantic, intimate relationship. But
we were just kind of marveling as we watched the awards how Mark Wahlberg, you know, come on, from Marky Mark Calvin Klein model,
he's a very
underwear
bright
model,
guy.
to this point where he's producing these movies and shows and starring. And I mean, he's like his own little, you know, kind of conglomerate.
Well, he really put HBO on the map, you know, in many, many ways. Somewhat with the Entourage, it was a very new tone.
Sure.
I think they've given him a lot of power and a lot of cred of having his finger on the pulse. And I think what you've heard echoed is that he's a really, he has a lot of, puts a lot of himself into what he's producing. And I think that's what I meant early on about The Fighter. You know, it's one of those movies that I would love to see gain some momentum. Maybe it will. Maybe all it will get is Christian Bale and Melissa Leo really being in contention. But very, very interesting. Okay, so we've mentioned, I think, all of the film categories that were kind of the major categories.
We didn't talk about Natalie a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, talk. Let's talk about Natalie.
Okay,
best actress and up against Nicole. No, who was she? Yeah, Nicole Kidman, Halle Berry, Jennifer Lawrence, the young actress in Winter's Bone, and Michelle Williams, who I actually saw Blue Valentine as well recently.
Wonderful film.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of her year, you know. Again, she's given a lot of interesting performances in films that, you know, like I love *The Is for Vendetta*, which a lot of people didn't see.
Uh-huh.
You know, where she's taken from this kind of innocent girl to this, you know, revolutionary at the end.
Yeah, she shaves her head in that film for people who want to know what film it is.
And, you know, again, because she's so beautiful and so fragile, you know, that's the first thing she has. People have to sort of get past that.
Yeah.
Kind of see the actress behind it. And, I mean, talk about a role that was perfectly suited for her gifts. I mean, that, you know, it just worked on so many levels with this particular, you know, director.
Yeah.
And it's a very punishing, punishing film. There is no compassion given.
Mm-mm.
It's sort of like Karen Carpenter in Ballet Slippers. You know, everybody around this young woman uses her. And, you know, it's like so brilliantly done in that kind of schizophrenic, you know, Polanski sort of world,
mm-hmm.
who apparently, you know, Aronofsky really cites as a, you know, something that really he looked to when he was putting the film together. And you can really see it if you know Polanski's movies.
Yeah.
I thought she was amazing. And just, I mean, just the dance work alone that she did.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Did you feel, you know, it was, my husband, who loves everything, he's been resisting watching Black Swan. So finally I said, honey, you've got to. So he watched, he goes, now that was acting.
Yeah.
She was really acting good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing I can say, I saw the film with actually, I was home in Tennessee over Christmas and I went with the woman who was one of my last dance teachers, actually. Because, you know, I wanted to be a dancer for many years. I danced until I was 17. I was danced on point. I did all of that. I mean, I knew I was never going to be a ballerina, but I had a lot of ballet training. You know, it's a very intense world, and I never stepped out into it in a way that would have been even close to the stress of being a Lincoln Center New York Ballet or ABT dancer. But I can very much, as an actor and somebody who started off as a dancer, really understand that kind of, you know, doing whatever it takes for one's art. I mean, you know, we see Christian Bale's performance, and, you know, I heard Melissa Leo being, because that's to me what the film is really about, like literally suffering for one's art, you know, putting
mm-hmm.
yourself
mm-hmm.
so fully in that you lose yourself and you don't know where you begin and the character begins. And also the frustration of your critical head that constantly tells you you'll never reach it. You'll never become it. You'll never get it. You know, you'll never be good enough. And, you know, and you see a performance like Christian Bale. I heard an interview with Melissa Leo, and they said, you know, tell me, you know, about Christian Bale, you know, and working with him on this film. And she essentially says something like, you know, well, I really only met Christian twice. Once before we started filming, when we had like a gathering, and then now when we're making these press junkets, which I think is extremely telling, which means from this moment she walked on to, you know, getting costumes and set and hair and walked on for her first filming scene, he was that character, you know, and he is that kind of actor, you know, and that's to me what this film really epitomizes, with also a great New York Times, I think it was, article about is this camp? You know, what do we call camp? Does camp have to just be funny and gay? Very fascinating article, if people can look that up. I can't remember the title of it, but I thought it was a splendid film. I thought she was magnificent in it. I mean, there's such a microscope on her, and a lot has to get said through very little language. A very deep and troubled, driven, just almost maniacal inner life has to be shown for that character to work.
To maintain that anxiety at that level, that kind of that quiet hysteria, which she does through the whole film, you know. It's very hard to then look at the very subtle work that Annette Bening does in The Kids Are Right and say, well, she's better.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene where Annette Bening does the Joni Mitchell song at the dinner table is absolutely, you know, heartbreaking.
A film moment. It is a film. It is a cinematic moment in history, I honestly think.
You know, and then she goes in the bathroom and sees, you know, so, and then comes back and finishes the scene. I mean, that's five Oscars right there, what she does. But you know, for the average, you know, whatever, awards like to award big, showy, or, you know, I want to see the sweat. I want to see, you know, Dustin Hoffman doing the character in Rain Man. I want to, you know, Christian Bale, you know, zonk out of his brains.
Yeah.
Audiences love that. I mean, sure, we love that over the top. That's one reason why I love I Am Love.
Yeah, exactly, which I haven't seen. Now I got to see that. Well, I think it'll be an interesting night. We'll see. There's going to be momentum. The SAG Awards, we'll see what the fellow actors honor. But I wouldn't put it past Annette Bening. I think you and I should have a little bet on that. But I think Miss Bening may finally get her day. I think she may get it. And I think Natalie Portman is going to have a long career. And she is excellent. And she's going to get a Golden Globe. And she's going to win some other awards. But I still think Annette Bening may take that prize home.
I would be very pleased to see that happen.
Yeah.
I really would.
So which we here just in the final moments, and we don't have to talk a ton about television, but I do want to talk just about the fact that the TV awards really seem to embrace our gay community. There is a trend that is going on that is so exciting for television. The Supporting Actor Award going to Chris Colfer, who you talked about earlier in the show. We were talking about how people looked and just what an amazing example he is of a, you know, a bright, sharp, articulate, empathetic young man, and that he brings every ounce of that and a dose of something else that he infuses from all these other kids like him into this performance of Kurt on Glee, and just so fantastic.
Dignity. He brings you know that
grace
kind of dignity.
And dignity. He really does.
Yeah. He really does.
He is heartbreaking, and I think it will be one of those characters that we will be talking about that has really been seminal, I think, on television. And then, you know, the other side of the coin. I mean, how fantastic that on the same show we can kind of take two characters, very, very opposite what they have to do on the show. Both are portrayed by a gay and a lesbian, openly gay and lesbian actress. An actor with Jane Lynch's win. And it's just so full circle to have her thank her wife and her kids, like the award after, the actor award after Annette Bening, you know, talking about this fictional wife partner and
pretty groovy.
And it's just, it was such a beautiful, sweet, sweet moment, right?
Absolutely. I thought she'd won last year, and apparently she did not. This was her first win.
She won the Emmy.
Oh, okay.
She won the Emmy, yeah.
So now she's got the trophy case going.
She does, indeed. And she gave a shout-out to all of us in Chicago.
Love that.
And I love that, you know, look, Ryan Murphy, gay guy, gets lots of attention. I'm happy as, you know, happy can be for him. But I was really, every time we've watched Glee get awards, and Glee won tonight for Best Television Series as well, which I think was a big coup. But every time, because I originally read the story about Ian Brennan of how Glee started as a film from this Chicago writer who was writing about his high school experience in the suburbs of Chicago. And Ian never gets thanked, really. And I loved how Jane Lynch pulled him kind of center and front to have his moment. And finally, Ryan Murphy did tonight, too. And that's an amazing, amazing thing.
I was very happy to see that as well. Credit where credit is due. Rare thing.
Yeah. It is true, because he created this world. Ryan Murphy just knew how to package it and get it made. I mean, you know, and luckily they've kept him on board. And obviously it sounds like Ian really writes that character of Sue Sylvester. So she was really giving him credit for being probably the primary voicing around the work that she does. I have to say I have not watched Boardwalk Empire, though it's all saved on my DVR, and I'm going to sit down and watch all 13 hours of it sometime very soon.
Wonderful.
So I'm very excited about that, and I guess you think that is due its due for Best Television Series. Are you fans of the other shows?
Well, I thought this was a really great season for Mad Men. You know, Mad Men is one, and I would like to have seen that have gotten the series, because it really was a very compelling season for that show. Boardwalk Empire, it's a great starting. You can see, yes, when he said we want to be here forever, it starts at the beginning of Prohibition in 1920. So it's going to go for 10 years or longer. There's so many great things that will happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of great characters. Michael Pitt, well, you'll see when you watch it. But
Chicago's own Michael Shannon is on the show as well.
He's lovely and really twisted.
Yeah, well, that's what he plays very, very, very well.
Very twisted character.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I can't really tell which season they're awarding, because I don't know that it's the season that just ended, like, you know, weeks ago for Mad Men, or if it's the season before. And the same with Dexter. I don't know if it's the John Lithgow year or the year with Julia Stiles. They always have a central character that's added each season. And I really thought the John Lithgow year on Dexter was something to watch, but maybe it's this new year. I don't know. I don't know what season they, where their season ends and begins with.
I'm going to assume that I don't watch Dexter, but I'm going to assume that it's the one that's just happened, because of having both Boardwalk Empire and The Walking Dead, and
that's true.
Some other real recent series.
Yeah, yeah. I too thought that Mad Men had an extraordinary year, and I really love that show. But I have to say, it's really exciting to see so many other networks. It's really now commonplace. I mean, we were used to it being like the three networks and HBO. And now these awards have really become about FX and TNT and AMC. And, you know, we are really seeing the rise of more than just Fox, NBC, CBS,
well,
ABC.
Well, how lovely was it to watch an award show with not one single fucking reality show? I'll say it right there on the podcast.
God. Thank God.
Sorry.
Cause you
enough.
Can. Yeah, I agree. And with that, we have to wrap up, because we've just filled a full hour, which is what we can do. We can talk, the gay movie critic and the lesbian who happens to be a gay man who's not a critic but has a lot of opinions and is an avid television addict. Richard, I just want to say formally, as we enter 2011, thank you so much for all the reviews that you contribute to our show each week. We hope that people really enjoy how much you give us your take.
It's my pleasure.
Tell everybody where to go to the movies, and Oscar race will be upon us. We will be talking to Richard Knight Jr. more about that as we get closer and closer. The SAG Awards are just a couple weeks away, so check your local listings if you are in the high holidays for reals like me, and you'll be watching the SAGs as well. Much to come. I have to say that in upcoming shows, we are going to have the lovely Linda Etter on our show. She's coming back to Chicago, and I'm very excited. She's on our show every few years, and she is back, which I'm so excited about. Plus, haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to have a conversation about church and the gays, and we haven't done it in a while, and I met a man that I'm very excited to kind of just talk about. And when I say church, I'm really speaking of, Judeo-Christian church and the gays for this go-around. Plus, Stephen Rader and I are hitting a night on the town because 9 to 5, speaking of fantastic seminal movies, 9 to 5, the musical, is coming to Chicago, and Stephen Rader and I are stepping out next week for a night on the town.
I'm
so lucky that I just get to hang with all my gays and do fun things. So go see movies is what Richard and I can tell you. There's lots of good ones, so you can weigh in on your opinions as well. Richard Knight, thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you, Amy Matheny. My pleasure as always. Lots of fun.
And everyone, enjoy the movies. And we'll see Richard's next review next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. I haven't seen the last of me.